just amazing in the middle of something how God just kind of grabs you. And as I looked around the congregation, I thought of Chelsea a couple weeks ago. She talked about the youth group and she said, "I'm sorry, I just get emotional. I'm very passionate about this." God forbid we get passionate about Jesus Christ. God forbid we get loud about Jesus Christ and excited about Jesus Christ. And I just looked across the congregation, was just caught up with emotion, thinking, man, He did it for our young people. He did it for our older people. He did it for the males and the females, for the single, for the married, for the fatherless, for the motherless, for the widows and the widowers, for the orphans. And it just caught me off guard there. But I love when Jesus Christ grabs me. It reminds me we don't get to do this lightly. We don't get to do this lightly. Next week, Mother's Day. We're going to have a great day here with Mother's Day. Come join us. Invite your mothers. We're going to have a great day. And then the week after that, Graduation Sunday. And I hate to mention this in the middle of a sermon, but I see a lot of people fanning themselves. Can someone check the air and make sure we've got those cranked down a little bit all the way around? Because I'm about to die up here myself. Wow, we got amen everywhere. Hallelujah, let's check the air and bring it way down. Okay? Spare no expense. Take us down to 72 at least. 68 for my wife, indeed. We'll kick the air down. I look out in every section they're doing this, and right up here I'm wondering if I need to wipe the runway yet or not. That's what my twin brother and I called it, wipe the runway. That means we got sweat beating up there. Eric, you can edit this out, right? I hope. So we have some exciting Sundays coming up with Mother's Day and Graduation Sunday. But every Sunday is exciting for me. I was gone last week, and I miss this place when I'm gone. We got up bright and early, and we did the Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon. And I know several of you said you had people or family members or friends that were running in that. And it was very special to me to do it with my family. We did the family relay with my wife and I, Spencer and Austin and my daughter Brittany. And I think the most fantastic thing was the five of us crossing the finish line together as a family unit. And I was excited. Yes, that was fantastic. And I've told a couple of you that have asked about it. And I said, I don't think you can be a spiritual or religious person and not have felt that on that particular day. Because as you're running, you get tired. And as Christians, we get tired. And we get worn out. And I quoted scripture. Yes, along my way, I quoted many a scripture. One I kept repeating that said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Carry me across the finish line, Lord. You know, this is a time when I need some extra strength. And I talked with a couple others about when you have those stretches, there's a lot of people, and it's real easy to be a cheerleader when there's a whole group of you, you know, and you're at a sports event or whatever, and everyone's cheering and clapping, and that's great. But when there's just one of you, it's real hard to stand out there and cheer somebody on. It's just awkward. But to that one person that you're cheering, I cannot tell you how important that is and how valuable it is. As I ran past one individual after another in different spots throughout the course, and they said, "You got this, man." I know the look on my face said, "No, I don't," but they said, "You got this," and they encouraged me to keep going. And it was no blistering pace that I set. And I just wanted, before we move into the message, I just want to encourage you guys. Not only do you need to be cheered on sometimes, but you need to be cheerleaders to spur one another on and say, "Man, you're going to make it." You know, think about football games. Guys, I know we're down several touchdowns, but we can turn this game around. Do you believe it? Do you not? And if we feel that we're on the losing end of something, we can turn it around. But we turn it around through His strength. And really, He turns it around. But I'm saying we can turn that around with our outlook and our focus. Amen? Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And it's been quite a week with the marathon. I did a wedding yesterday for someone I work with at the Oklahoma City Boathouse, and it was fantastic with a glass background overlooking the river. The only sad thing was they were having an OU rowing event, or a rowing event, and they had an OU bus, and the guy's from OSU. So parked right in front of the venue where he was getting married, so he was none too pleased about that. But it was great to perform the ceremony and to be a part of that, and bring two people to one. And then last night had a fantastic evening. My wife and I with Pastor Eric and Kisha, we went out. And I got to tell you, I had one of the most relaxing and enjoyable times I can remember in months and months and months. Just out to eat, watching the sunset go down at the lake. And I needed that. We all need that. And I thought, just an important reminder is we're running and going and doing and doing. And then church is on a Sunday. That's my only day of rest. Oh, no. What I do? Come here and get filled and rest after that. But that just finished off a fantastic week, and we had a great time last night. Great company, great conversation, so thank you guys. But what a reminder to me, take time to rest. Take time to rest every now and then, because we can all go and go and go to keep ourselves busy, sometimes to escape things, sometimes to not think about things, and sometimes just because we've signed up for these things. And then we're here today. Today we're going to recognize our new members. We're going to have a fish fry afterwards. It doesn't get any better than that. It just doesn't get better than that. Amen? Well, Acts chapter 2, we talked a couple weeks ago in Acts chapter 1 about Jesus coming down, and he said, go here, stay here, and I'll call you. And when you go, preach these things in Luke. And then in Acts chapter 1, we talked about they were in the upper room in the meeting. And then Pastor Eric covered last week, talked about Matthias being chosen to replace Judas. And now in Acts chapter 2, which I find one of the most exciting things in the Bible to read about. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So if we look at that right there, and they don't know, they think for the crowd it's talking about being, they may not have been in the upper room, probably wasn't in the narrow streets there, it may have been in the room in the synagogue where they gathered. They just don't know, but wherever it was an amazing event. Can you imagine having a giant conference and then having this mighty rushing wind come in there and all of a sudden everybody, and they're coming from different places. It'd be like saying, we got someone from Texas with their twang, and we have someone from the Midwest, and then we have someone from Alabama and Louisiana, and we have all these different things that we can't understand what they're saying. Now, really, we do. I get it. But, you know, the Texas twang sometimes is hard to understand. And so they all come with their different dialects. When we went to Guatemala, we were less than an hour away from one of the churches from where we were staying. And the guy said, well, I understand most of what they say, but they had so many different dialects of the language that there were, 30-some or 40-some different dialects when we were down there. And so each one was a little different than the other and had their own twist. Well, here was the same thing. They're coming from many different areas and countries and regions, and they all had their different tongues that they spoke in normally. But all of a sudden, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it was not their natural language that they were speaking. And of course, what happened, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred and multitude came together and were confused, because every one of them speak in their own language, and they could hear each other speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? And it gives the different regions they were from. And then in verse 11 it says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Whatever could this mean? And it doesn't say they were preaching the gospel. It wasn't necessarily the gospel they were talking about. They were talking about all the wonderful things God has done. Now, that may have included the gospel, but they weren't necessarily there preaching. They were talking about events and happenings and miracles that they had seen and the glory of God. And I thought, man, how great is that? Speaking of God's mighty and wonderful works, not necessarily proclaiming the gospel. And I think sometimes rather than preaching to people, as we can often do, sometimes we just need to tell them about the wonderful things God has done. Sometimes that is the testimony, and that is the word. Let me tell you, I don't know what this says, but let me tell you what God's done in my life. And he says, man, tell them what he's done in your life. Give them examples. Show them those things. And they may be the little things. I've preached before about recognize God's wondrous works and meditate on those things. Recognize and meditate on God's wonderful works. That's in Psalms. And sometimes it's just seeing the beauty. As we watch that sun go down, and I looked at Kish and I said, just in the blue sky, there's a little wisp right on the horizon with a couple little streaks of blue in there, or white. Just got that in a little brush stroke in there. And then even when the sun was down and it was almost black, you could just see a little purple through there. Man, that's God's wonderful works in there. Just saying, oh, it isn't nighttime. Man, look at that sunset as it turns into nighttime. And recognize those things. Recognize the things in each other that God's doing. Don't point out, it's very easy to point out the bad. Adam does this, Adam doesn't do that. He does this, he doesn't do that. Find the good in people. Say, man, I noticed that you did this. Way to go. Find that encouragement. So look in verse 13. And of course, as we're all finding the wonderful things that God has done, someone standing around us more than likely, and they said, others mocking them said, they are now full of new wine. There's going to be people around you saying, you're drunk. You're nuts. You're crazy. Adam, I don't know what you're talking about. But he says, they said, they're full of new wine. They're drunk. They've got to be. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So we have to know when people come against us, we have to know what our defense is going to be. Will we stand up for others in their defense? Ground zero, that's a tough thing to do sometimes when people are picking on one person. The easiest thing to do is join in. The hardest thing to do is say, hey, knock it off. Leave them alone. Leave her alone. Leave them alone. It's real easy to jump in and do that. By the way, adults, it's the same for us. At work, we can do the same thing. It's real easy to jump on that bandwagon. But Peter, standing up with the 11, they stood up. He said, hang on a minute. Listen to me. And then he quotes scripture from Joel and said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, listen carefully, church, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I thought, man, stand up and support one another and back one another up. God makes it pretty simple there. Now, if we skip over, there's some great stuff in the middle of that, but I want to skip over into chapter or into verse 36. So if you would turn over to verse 36 in Acts 2. And it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. There were some events going on. There was some conversation. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus. And then he tells them, whom you crucified, but God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now listen to verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. They were convicted. When you're convicted, this is a great time to spring into new action and a new way of thinking. The new birth they talk about. When you're convicted, that's not the time to just go back to the same old thing. You've got to say, how can I change this? Let me make a note. Let me stick a card up here. Make a note. I've got to change this behavior. What's causing this and what can I do to change this? And they said, what shall we do? And listen to Peter's response in verse 38. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Man, that sounds pretty easy. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. A couple weeks ago we read, and Jesus said, preach and teach repentance and the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. So here Peter is going, they said, what do we do? Peter says, man, you've got to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Following exactly what Jesus said to do. In prayer of faith, we try and keep things fairly simple. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just read that in verse 21. Repent, let every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins. It's that simple. I don't need you to go through a course for salvation. Call on the name of the Lord. I don't need you to go through a course to be baptized. Yes, certainly we want to have a conversation about that. We do have books over here as our young people start talking about that. We have books for them to look at and explore to make sure they understand. But when they say they have understanding, it's done. It's done. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord of God, our God, will call. And I thought, wow, it doesn't get better than that. So in verse 40, let's read on to verse 40, and we'll take it to the end of the chapter there. And it says, and with many other words being testified and exhorted to them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone has need. One of the reasons they did that, when they called on the name of the Lord, a lot of times they may have been outcast from their family. They didn't have anywhere else to go but that group. And so that group supported one another. They were there for one another because they had no one else. Because when they called on the name of the Lord and professed him to be Christ, the others dismissed them from their family, from their groups. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I love that. Gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. They ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. We've talked a lot the last couple weeks about praising God as well. And we're not talking about just when we sing. There's opportunities throughout every day to praise God and different ways to praise God. But certainly when we come together to sing songs for Him, man, we should be praising Him and singing. He calls for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it sounds like they're figuring that out. Simplicity of heart and gladness. Praising God and having favor with all people. We talked a couple weeks ago about we're to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Salt makes people what? Thirsty. We want to be attractive to those around us to draw them to Christ. He says, I am living water. I am living water. Those who come to me shall never thirst again. Different people from different backgrounds coming together with a common purpose in one accord. And it says they helped each other out. That's what our church is today. This is the beginning of the church. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, He's walking around and the church is kind of moving and He is a church and we're the church body. But that was kind of the formation of the church after Jesus' ascension into heaven. So He calls churches to come together, different individuals, different backgrounds, different needs, different hurts, different strengths, different gifts. Come together as one unit and help each other out and help others out around and outside of the church body. Amen? That's what we're going to do today. We are going to today add new members to the congregation. And it's pretty simple. They said we'd like to be counted. And we're going to add different people to our group with different gifts and different strengths. We're going to take, in just a minute here, we're going to take and bring those individuals up front. We're going to ask them some questions of commitment. We're going to ask you, church body, a commitment question as well. And then it's that simple. And then He has added to our church family and our church body. Amen? Caitlin, do you want to get your daughters and bring them up here with you? They're not here. Great. Okay, you'll be here alone. I wondered why I didn't get a hug from them. Okay. Eric, would you like to see if Joe is able? Joe's in here. Okay, he's here. I'm sorry. I thought you were out there. Well, let's do that at this time. Let's pray first, and then we'll get our families up here and our individuals up here. Heavenly Father, we just thank You today for Your word. We thank You for the message of these individuals being brought together for a common purpose. God, we thank You for the opportunity as a church body to grow in Your word and grow, not just in individuals, but grow in strength and wisdom about Your word. God, help us grow together that we may be added to your list of people that are furthering the kingdom. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. God, help guide our actions and our words as we go out week after week. Help draw attention to the areas that we need to strengthen and shore up and where we've missed the mark. I ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.